Okay, so today we are on part five of our series called A Royal Heart. Now, I want you just to pray that with me today, okay? Would you just say, Dear Jesus, give me a royal heart. Cultivate inside of me a royal heart. Now, that's a very important prayer because the heart is like a maze. There's a lot of paths and tracks and, you know, back hallways and all of that in it. And even though this is a long series, there's no way we're going to be able to cover everything to do with the heart. Because you and I start life, we all start life the same way. We start with a broken heart. We start with the heart of an orphan, or the heart of a slave, or the heart of a Pharisee, or the heart of a rebel. And when Jesus becomes the king of our heart, he starts to cultivate a royal heart inside of us. And that's a heart that's filled with virtue and humility and character. And a heart that where life flows out of it. And so that process isn't simple and it's not easy. But we've been looking at King David, his life, because King David had the heart of a king before he was a king, which is probably why God made him a king. But we've been looking at this process and what happened to King David. And the Bible says David is a man after God's own heart. And so David becomes a really clear example to us of the kind of heart that God wants to develop in each one of his children. And so what we learn about David's life is he very much had a royal heart. Now, we've talked about deep issues of the heart. We've talked about discouragement. We talked about apathy. We talked about submission. And today we're going to, as you can see, those are all deep issues of the heart. And today we're going to build on that. We're going to talk about honor. Now, honor is a relevant topic because we live in a culture of such intense dishonor. I don't know if you've noticed, there's a lot of dishonor in the world. And we live in a very intense time, an intense culture of dishonor. And so I think one of the reasons we struggle with this is because, like, what is it? What is honor? Like, how do you define it? What does it mean? I want to give you a definition that I think is good for all followers of Jesus, and it works for me. It helps me understand. So to honor is to treat something or someone according to their God-given value. To honor something or someone is to treat it according to its God-given value. In other words, we're going to put the proper value on it, or we're going to put the proper value on this person or those people or whatever. We're going to value it or them the same way God values it or them, not lower than or higher than. And so that's difficult in our culture because we live in a culture of individualism and consumerism and options. And our culture says, have it your way, you know, you figure out what your truth is, be your own person, you do you. But here's the thing that we have to understand as children of God, we've been brought as a son or daughter of God into the kingdom of God. We've been brought into a kingdom, and he's the king of the kingdom. So he gets to decide how valuable something is or is not. So it's really not our role to figure out what value to ascribe to something. It's our role to figure out what value God has given to it and then come into agreement with him because he's the king of the kingdom. Are you with me still? He's the king of the kingdom. Four of you are with me. Are you with me still? He's the king of the kingdom. Look, you had an hour's sleep. You got to be up by now, right? All right, so he's the king of the kingdom. And it's our role to come into agreement with him. So sometimes understanding what something is easier to understand what it's not. Dishonor is to give something a lower value than God's given to it. Does that make sense? To dishonor a person is to give them a lower value than God's given to them. Or to dishonor a thing is to give a lower value to it than God has given to it. But to properly honor something is to give the same value that God has given to it. Now, here's where it gets good. Do you know that God created you to be honored? Did you know that? You are a chosen son or daughter of God. And as a chosen son or daughter of God, you have been created for honor. You have been created to be honored. And so honor is like water on a dry plant. I mean, it just nourishes it and makes it rise and be strong and beautiful and makes it live. And so you and I need honor. We were created for honor, and we need honor, and the world needs honor. And when we properly honor, in other words, when we properly ascribe the value to something that God has given to it, it begins to rise into what He called it to be and what He called it to do. And when you honor people properly, oftentimes they rise to what God destined them for. Because you call it out of them. You draw them up. And so this series is all about living up to the kingdom, not down to the world. So David is a man after God's own heart. So he has a heart that's full of honor. Now, that wasn't an easy thing for him. David was ignored by his own dad when Samuel came around looking for a new king, and Jesse, David's dad, lined up all of his brothers and said, pick one of these, and he didn't even mention David. David was the only one that's left out. Here's what's amazing about David. David wasn't offended. He wasn't offended. He honored his dad anyway. Now, that's a hard thing to do, especially a hard thing to do for young men. But David also was a man of honor because he kept his commitment to his friends. David was a man of honor because he honored the men who fought with him when they went to war. He shared the spoils and the plunder of war with his men, so he honored them. He even honored his enemy, who was King Saul, who was the king of Israel, because both Saul and David knew that David was chosen by God to be the next king, and Saul didn't want to be replaced. So Saul thought, I'll fix this. I'll just kill him. So think about that for a minute. The man who is destined to kill him because he feels threatened by him, because he's insecure because of him, because he knows his replacement's in the room, David honors him. David honors that man. Now, that's an amazing thing, because Saul was an ungodly, demon-oppressed man leader who had a heart of an orphan. And so David, for 10 years, lived on the run in the wilderness, in caves and mountains, running for his life for 10 years. Now, here's what happened in one particular event that really shows how David honored Saul. David and his men went and hid in a cave because they heard that Saul and his men were close. They went and hid in a cave. As destiny would have it, Saul went into that cave by himself to use the bathroom. Whoever said the Bible's not honest, I don't know. He went in by himself to use the bathroom. David snuck up behind him, cut a corner of his robe off, and retreated in the back of the cave. Saul, completely unaware, left the cave, marched out. David later circled back and found him and said, here's the corner of your robe that I cut off, and I wanted to show you this to prove to you that I could have killed you, but I honored you. Now watch. Watch what the scripture says, 1 Samuel 24, 5 and 6. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. In other words, David is like, this feels like dishonor to me to even do this. But he didn't know how else to prove it. So he said to his men, Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. David gave Saul, watch this, the same value that God gave Saul. You see that? David honored him by coming into an agreement with what God said about Saul, not what he thought about Saul. And in many ways, what Saul really was. Saul was an ungodly man. But David realized that Saul was worthy of honor regardless of his behavior because of the calling that God had put on his life. So this is what a royal heart looks like. So here's the trick, though, for us. When royalty's in here, guess what comes out of here? Honor. When rebellion or an orphan or a slave or a Pharisee's in here, guess what comes out of here? Dishonor. That's why the scripture says, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because what's in here comes out. So what is your honor in your life, or the lack of honor that you give? What does it say to you about your heart? The issue's not out here what you say or don't say. The issue is, where does it come from and what does that reveal about your heart? What does your social media feed reveal about your heart? If you were to go back and scroll the last 12 months social media feed of your own post, if you were to go back and look at the last 6 months, a year of your text, of your email, of your communication, of your verbalization, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So what does it say about your heart? Now, here's the thing about this, okay? I understand that we are in deep, 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 difficult water. This is hard to learn. It's hard to do. It's not easy. It's some of the deepest issues, because the heart of the matter is always the matter of the heart, right? It's what's in a person's heart. And so I know this is a difficult thing to learn, but we all have to learn it, because we're not born with it. It's even in the Ten Commandments. Look at Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God's giving you. So what does the Bible teach us? Honor something we're supposed to learn at home. It's something that our mother and our father are supposed to teach us. So we should not be surprised the more that the family breaks down, the more we're going to live in a culture of dishonor, because we didn't learn at home. But guess what? If we don't learn at home, and for a variety of reasons, many of us don't learn it at home, where are we supposed to learn it? The church. Because you know what the church is? It's a family. This is a big family. This is a big spiritual family. So it is absolutely critical that we teach honor and we model honor and we engage with honor, because this is where we learn this value in the kingdom of God and how to incorporate it into our heart. So honor releases life. Did you notice in this commandment in Exodus, it says it's the first commandment with a promise? That honor your mother and father, that your days may be long. It may give you a long life. Honor releases life into your life, into those around you. Now, let me give you the counter opposite example. Jesus went to his own hometown, and you know that's the only place he couldn't do any miracles? You know why? Because Jesus said only in a prophet's own hometown is a prophet without honor. There was dishonor. So I want you to imagine for a minute. Jesus, God, one of the Trinity in the flesh, shows up in his own hometown. He walks into town to raise the dead, to heal the sick, to do miracles, and he can't do it. Why? Because there's dishonor. So I want you to see this. I want to show you this principle. Honor releases life. Dishonor shrinks it. Honor releases life. Dishonor debilitates it and shrinks it and pulls it back. So I wonder what that means for me and you. I wonder if there's ever been a time that God has shown up in my life or yours and he wanted to do something, but he couldn't do it because there was dishonor in our heart. There was dishonor in our life. There was dishonor somehow flowing through us. It's such an intense level that God withdrew or held back something he wanted to do because we dishonored his word, or we dishonored his presence, or we dishonored people. I want to give you a picture this morning. I want to give you two pictures, actually, but I want to give you one here. I want you to imagine that honor is like a faucet, okay? It's like a big faucet. And when you open a faucet, when you turn a faucet, you open the valve and then water starts to flow. That's what honor is like. When you honor, when you live in honor, when you honor, when you value what God values and you honor it, it opens a faucet, and you know what begins to flow in your life? The kingdom of God, like a river, starts to flow in you and through you and around you and out of you. And the more honor, the more kingdom. The more honor, the more kingdom that you live in. The more honor, the more of God's kingdom flows in and through your life. But when you live in dishonor, it's like you start to shut that faucet. You start to turn that faucet off. And what happens is the less honor, the less kingdom. And so what happens to us sometimes is we shut that thing off and there's only a trickle. Or maybe some of us sometimes have lived in a drought of the flow of the kingdom of God in our life because we've operated in such dishonor. So let's make it practical, okay? What do you do when you're chronically late? What are you saying? You're dishonoring the person you're meeting because you know what you're saying? My time's more important than your time. What do you do when you make a commitment to do something, but you don't show up and you don't call? What you're saying is you're saying my convenience is more important than your preparation. So you're dishonoring, right? What do you do when you gossip? You're saying my frustration is more important than your reputation. So you're bringing dishonor into the relationship. What do you do when you're sitting with someone and you're scrolling on your phone and they're sitting across looking at you? What you're saying is what's on my phone is more important than the person that's sitting right in front of me. What are you doing? You're dishonoring. You see what I'm saying? Are you here? Are you awake this morning? You had all that sleep. You should be really on this. Are you here? That's dishonor. And you know what? When you shut the faucet off, you shut the kingdom off in your life. And it matters in the little things, and it matters in the big things, and it matters in the in-between things. And so when you turn the faucet on, the kingdom will flow in your life. When you turn the faucet off, the kingdom will be restricted in your life. Would you pray this with me? Dear Jesus, give me a royal heart. That's what it means to have a royal heart. So what if the biggest hindrance to the kingdom flowing in our life and in our community, it's not, you know, the government, it's not the bad people out there. What if it's us? What if we just haven't come into agreement with God on what he values? What if we just don't honor the things that God honors? And look, we struggle to know how to do that because we live in a culture of such dishonor. So what do? We fight with dishonor, we take on the methods of the world, and we think we're doing the right thing because maybe the result is right, maybe the goal is right, but the method is wrong. And I said it this way last week, you can't do God's work Satan's way. And God's way is honor. It's not dishonor. It's honor. So this morning, how can we have a royal heart? How can we become people of honor? Let me give you three things real quick. Number one, honor God. You know, David honored God in such a powerful way. In this last year, I've done in my own personal Bible study, I've done a journey through the book of Psalms, and I'm on like Psalm, I think 130, maybe 136 now. So I've gotten most of the way through it. So many of the Psalms were written by David, and when you read them, you know what you learn? Man, David honored God. He worshiped him, he prayed, he submitted, he surrendered, he lifted up his voice, he gave God his heart, he gave gifts to God, he sacrificed. He honored God with everything that he had in every way that he could. And no surprise, then David was a man of honor. Why? Because he honored God. And maybe one of the reasons when, you know, this demon-oppressed king came along and Saul had to honor him, maybe one of the reasons that David could honor him is because he had already honored God so much in his life that it was easier for him. It's never easy, but maybe it was easier for him. Having a heart of honor starts with honoring God. You know, that's why every Sunday we come and worship. Did you know that? Gathering together to worship on Sunday is an act of honor. It's a big deal. We gather together, we lift our hearts up, and we say, you know what? This is the first day of the week, and this is the first part of the first day of the week, and who is more deserving of the first part of the first day of the week than Jesus? Nobody is. So God, today I'm going to come. I don't always feel good. I don't always feel like it. I'm not always in a good mood. I hadn't always had a good week. But you know what? This isn't based on what I've experienced. This is based on who God is. So when we come together, I'm going to say, God, I give you honor. I give you glory. I worship you because you're God. And you know what happens when you push through and you do that? Man, you're cultivating inside of you a heart of honor. You're becoming a person of honor because you're honoring what God has set. And when you do that, you live up to the kingdom, not down to the world. Are you here this morning? Are you with me on this? You're living up to the kingdom. Man, come on up to the kingdom. We got enough people living down to the world. The first day of the week. So you say, Lord, I give you my best. I put yours. Do you know that's one of the reasons we started the One for One Club I just talked about a few minutes ago? It's one of the reasons we started, because we want to help people in honoring God and putting God first in every part of their life. Look, I've learned this from 30 years of pastoring. Giving's never about math. It's always about heart. It's always about heart. And so the thing is, if we can disciple you and help you grow and help you put God first in every part of your life, you know what you'll become? It's about discipleship. You'll become a person of honor. And that's what it's all about. You'll develop a royal heart because you put him first, because you honor God. Look, the whole thing is about honor. So when you walk through your Christian life, you come in and you worship, you tithe, you say, I'm ready to receive the word. You know, my heart and my mind are open and I'm ready. I'm going to give God the honor that he deserves. Honor, 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 honor. And it cultivates a heart of honor inside of you, and you become an honorable person. When you dishonor God, it's so much easier to dishonor people. You know why? Because God's perfect. He's the easiest person to honor in the universe. And when you dishonor him, boy, dishonor starts to flow. On the other hand, when you honor God, honor starts to flow. And so all of having a royal heart, all of living in honor, starts by honoring God. Number two, refuse to be offended. Well, this is a tough, some of you are like, that offended me that you said that. I know. I understand. I know. Some of you are offended now. So you weren't in the group. Now you're in the group. I'm talking to you now. I wasn't talking to you, but now I'm talking to you. Refuse to be offended. Can I tell you something that's like miraculous to me? There's not one recorded word in the Bible of David being offended at Saul. You know, demon oppressed, ungodly, psycho, narcissist king that David served, and he tried to kill David for 10 years. And we don't have one recorded word that David was ever offended by him. A matter of fact, you know what David does when Saul dies? He weeps. I'm going to tell you, if you got somebody that's ever had it out for you and they've been hurting you and wounding you somehow and frustrating you, it's hard to cry when something happens. You're like, well, I mean, you know, that's how I felt, you know, when you were gouging me, right? This is not easy. This is the deepest stuff in the kingdom. I'm telling you, this is the deepest stuff. And David was never offended. He was never offended at Saul. How? How did David keep offense out of his heart? Listen, because his heart was so full of honor, there was no room for offense to exist. Now, you can spend the rest of your life living out what I just said. And I can spend the rest of my life trying to live out what I just said. Here's what offense says. You hurt me. You looked at me wrong. You said something wrong. You offended me. You wounded me. You didn't do this. You did do that. Somehow you hurt me. You dishonored me. Now I'm going to dishonor you. Because offense demands justice. But you know what honor does? Honor gives grace. So offense is the most, in my opinion, the most challenging heart issue you'll deal with. Many years ago at another church, I was serving a leader that I did not respect. I did not have respect for this leader in many ways. And I was surrounded by a few other leaders that were attacking me. They were strategizing and working against me to undermine me and to do harm. And I can just tell you, at 30 or 31 years old, I didn't study none of that in Bible school. They skipped that class. You know, what do you do when the sheep, you know, went turn on each other? I don't know. I didn't know what to do. My heart wasn't ready for it. I hadn't been trained for it. And it was weighing on me so heavily. One night, I was went to bed and I couldn't sleep. And at 1 a.m., my mind just spinning, going, "What do I retaliate? Do I try to expose them for what they're doing here is clearly wrong. Do I try to expose them? Do I tell other people what they're doing? What do I do?" The strategy to me wasn't clear on how I was supposed to respond to something that I didn't I didn't start. And so I'm laying in bed one night, 1 o'clock in the morning, I can't sleep, my mind's spinning, I don't know what to do. I finally just go, I'm not sleeping tonight. I get out of bed, and I remembered somebody had given me a book that seemed to fit the moment. And so 1 o'clock in the morning, I sat in my living room, and I opened the book, and at 4 a.m., I finished it. Now, don't be impressed. It's a small book. But at 4 a.m., I finished it, and the book is called A Tale of Three Kings, and it is a study on brokenness, and it talks about King Saul, King David, and King Absalom, who was David's son. And David had really been attacked by Saul, the king that was over him, and then later by his son, the king that was under him, that tried to overthrow the kingdom. And it's just a profound book, but I stayed up for 3 hours that night till 4 a.m., and I read that book. And that book was the right word at the right time that I needed, and it changed my life. I'm just going to tell you, it helped me to move forward in honor, and it helped me to move forward without taking on the ways of the world, the strategies of the world. And I just want to offer it to you today. Anybody that's in a tense situation, where there's, you know, a leadership situation, a family situation, I highly recommend the book. It will challenge you. It did challenge me, but it helped my heart. And so it helped me to wrestle with the offense that I had in my heart. You know, when someone does something wrong to you and you didn't do anything, what happens? You get offended. When you get offended, you start acting like the world. You start talking like the world, you start acting like the world, and you start taking on worldly strategies and worldly plans and revenge and all of this stuff. And so as a young pastor, it really pressed my heart and helped God, help open the door in my heart for God to do some work in my heart that needed to happen so that I could move forward in honor and not in dishonor. The subtitle's right, A Study in Brokenness. It broke me. It broke me deeply. But I'm grateful for it today. So I want to give you one more picture this morning that'll help us with this idea with honor. In a couple of weeks, we're all going to eat Thanksgiving, you know, lunch, dinner. And you've had this experience, right? Everybody that cooks for Thanksgiving, I don't know why they always feel like they have to cook for, you know, 100 people and 20 are coming. But you always have too much food. Is that right at your house? You always have too much food. And then what do? You don't want to waste it. All this work went in, so you put it in the refrigerator. And then your refrigerator just packed. And like somebody buys a gallon of milk, and you're like, I can't. You know, there's nowhere to, trying to put it in the butter dish, over squeeze it in the egg thing. There's no room left in your refrigerator because all these, you know, delectable Thanksgiving treats are left over in there. I want you to imagine, we talked about a faucet. I want to leave you today with the picture of a refrigerator. Imagine that your heart was like a refrigerator. And what would happen if you packed it with so many good things, so much honor?
And things that aren't resolved yet and things that have settled in maybe that shouldn't be there.
there, and we need to take an honest, reflective, internal look at ourselves, because you know where the journey for honor begins? You know where it always begins? It begins with humility. You will never be a person of honor without humility. Never. There are no prideful people that are people of honor. It starts with humility, which, by the way, is the reason that Jesus was so good at it. Now, maybe you say, but how do I honor someone I don't agree with them? You can still honor them. Do you know you have the ability to cheer someone on and to celebrate the greatness in their life, even if you don't agree with them? Look, cheering someone on doesn't mean that you agree with the totality of their entire personhood. We don't have to agree with the fullness of everything that a person is. Now, we don't celebrate the broken parts of a person's life, but we can celebrate the greatness that God's put in them, even if it's not fully fulfilled yet. You can do that. You can honor and lift up and highlight that part of another person's life. And the more you do that, watch this, the more that you do that, the less offense is going to live inside your life. Because you and I need honor flowing in us to keep us free from offense. All right, here's the last point, number three. Remember who they are. You know them, they, the others, the difference, the ones not like you, not like me, not like whoever, them. David never forgot who Saul was. He never allowed it to become an us and them, a us and they. Remember who they are. Saul was an evil, demon-oppressed king trying to kill David, but David never forgot that Saul was appointed by God to be king, and he was still king because God hadn't removed him yet. And so he interacted with Saul, watch this, based on his calling, not on his behavior. He interacted with him based on his calling, not on his behavior. Can I just tell you, you are going to have people in your life who do not have a royal heart. You are going to have people in your life who are ungodly and evil and broken and wrong and not, they don't live up to what they're supposed to be or they say they are or a million other things. But you don't treat people based on their behavior. They're still worthy of honor. And why are they worthy of honor? I'm going to give you three truths that's true about every human in the world. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they vote for. I don't care what party they align with. I don't care what country they come from. I don't care what their philosophy of life is. There are three things that are true about every person in the world. They were made in the image of God. Every human in the world is made in the image of God and therefore worthy of honor as a creation of God. Am I reaching you? Is anybody here? You agree with that one? Number two, every person on earth has been given gifts and talents by God that reflect his greatness. And number three, every person on earth has been called by God with a life of potential to have a heart of royalty in the kingdom. Every person. So, regardless of how much you disagree with them or how rebellious they are or terrible they are, they're still made in the image of God. People have gifts and talents, and those gifts and talents, regardless of how evil or whatever they are, those gifts and talents represent the greatness of God. So we can actually cheer on worldly people when we see reflection of God inside their life because there's greatness in it. So whether it's a talent, it's a musical talent, they're talented in art or leadership or sports or influence or acting or science or education, we can celebrate those gifts because nobody chooses their own gift. Your gift's given to you by the Creator. And therefore, when we cheer somebody, did you see him dunk that basketball? I mean, I know he just wrecked a car and he was drunk driving. I get it. But did you see him slam that ball? Did you see him hit that note on the guitar? Did you hear him drop that line? Hey, we can celebrate that. You know why? It's not theirs. It was given to them by God. And we're representing and we are celebrating our Creator. That's honor. That's what it means to honor. Now that sounds confusing because we say, but they're not. I didn't know. I thought we could only celebrate Christian, you know, athletes or Christian artists or Christian whatever. That's confusing because they're not even believers. You know what? Maybe if we honored more unbelievers, there would be more believers. right? Just a thought. Romans 13:7 says, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If you owe revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Do you know you owe people honor like a tax? You owe people honor like a mortgage payment. Why? Because we've been made in the image of God and we've been given gifts by our Creator. And that doesn't mean that you honor everything somebody says or does. We don't honor everything somebody says or does. But it means that you can honor what God has put inside them, not because, watch this, not because their behavior's worthy, but because you have a royal heart. You don't honor everybody because everybody's honorable. You honor everybody because you have a heart of honor. Do you see the difference? You have a heart of honor. That's why Jesus could go to the tax collector's house and eat with sinners and talk to the woman at the well and honor Pilate, the man who ultimately sentenced them to death. Never forget who God made them to be. God gave them potential. Now, sometimes in the church, we forget that too. You know why? Because we look at people in the church with different gifts and we say, well, you know, I don't know what gift they have. They don't have the gift that I have. And so therefore, we sometimes undervalue gifts in the body. The New Testament uses the picture of a body to describe the church. And so it's almost like we can't see the bones, we can't see the nervous system, we can't see the pancreas, but can I tell you, those things are important. They're critical. And sometimes we're that way in the body of Christ. We can't see someone's gift. It's not elevated. It's not up front. It's not seen. They're not on the stage. They're not in front of the camera. And so we just take for granted what people do or what they can do or what God's gifted them with. And so what I want to do this morning is I just want to stop and honor some people. You know what I would love? Rather than you just hear about honor, I'd like for you to see it. Rather than just see it, I'd like you to do it. Rather than just do it, I want you to experience it. You want to experience some honor today? I want to give some honor to some people this morning. You ready? Here's what I'm going to do. Nobody knows I'm going to do this. They don't even know who I'm calling out. So this is like complete surprise. I want to ask if you're part of our administrative staff, if you're a board member, if you work on our facilities, if you work in one of the cafes, if you work in food prep in any way in our campus, in a minute I want you to stand. But here's what I want you to do. When they stand, I want us to have a moment of honor for them. We're going to do four groups. I want to have a moment of honor for them like Auburn or Alabama just won the national championship. I want us to honor them and speak life over them and turn the faucet of the kingdom on and jam the refrigerator full to the top so that everything else can be weeded out. Are you ready? You weren't ready, so I'm going to say it again. Administrative staff, board member, facility, cafe, food prep, Kingwood Joe's Coffee House. If you're in the house, I want you to stand. I want you to stand this morning. If you're in any of those spots, I want you to stand. Come on, I want you to stand. I want you to honor them. Yeah. Yes. Honor them. Come on. No, stay still. Don't you sit down. Don't you sit down. Stand up. Stand up. Come on. Come on. Come on and honor them. Come on and honor them. That's right. That's right. Give honor. Here we go. All right, second group, kids ministry. If you work in kids ministry, youth ministry, audio visual, prayer team, where you at? Come on, we got to move quick. I want you to stand. Don't you sit down. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. Come on, stand up. Come on. Come on, give it up. Come on, give it up. Come on, honor them. Come on and honor them. We honor you today. Honor them today. Come on, we honor you. We honor you. All right, here we go. Two more. All right, ushers, greeters, those who do language translation. We translate this service from English into Spanish. So translators, Hispanic ministry leaders. We have a life group in our church that is in Portuguese. So if you're a leader in that group, we want you to stand. Safety team, everybody that I called out, would you stand right now? If you're in any of those ministries, come on, we want you to stand. Come on, we want you to stand. Come on now, give it up. Come on, give it up. Come on, give it up. Come on and honor. Come on and honor them. Come on and give it up. Come on and give it up. Give it up. All right, one more, here we go. If you're a single parent, thank God for single parents. Maybe you are grandparents who, through some circumstances, have become parents again. We want you to stand too. Special needs parents. Matter of fact, if you have kids at home, parents, how about that? Caregivers, teachers. If you're part of a school faculty anywhere around in the community, we want all of you to stand, and we want to honor you. Would you stand to your feet right now? We want to honor every one of you. Come on. Come on and honor. Come on and honor today. Come on and give honor. Come on. Come on and give it up. Come on and give up honor today. Come on and give up honor today. Give up honor today. Give up honor. Come on and honor. Come on and honor them. All right, now, everybody stand to your feet, and let's honor Jesus this morning, all right?